This is podtech.net. I'm Catherine Girardot at Java One in San Francisco's Moscone Center. There's been a lot of talk about method and tools in the conference presentations so far, but very little about process. Just how does a successful development team get the job done? Managing workflow was the topic of Java in the Trenches, a talk by IBM Rational Software engineers Eric Gamma and John Wiegand. The presenters focused on how process impacts their tools.
So Eric and I have been doing development for the last several years. We do work in open source, we do commercial software development, and our goal this morning is really to talk about our experiences in the Eclipse context, but also before, and talk about the things that work, the things that don't work, and hopefully resonate with things that you could use and apply.
So the key theme you will see also through our talk is the rhythm. Whatever we do has a rhythm. And the most important, the heartbeat of a project is the project rhythm. But you have this at many different levels. And you have a set of practices which help us to get at this healthy state of having a rhythm, making continuous progress. And these are the set of practices that help us to achieve this goal, right? Milestones, continuous integration, community involvement, live betas, continuous testing. So let's double click on some of them and enrich them with some insights from us. So this is kind of the overall flow we start. Now we have a release to do. Typically we pick a release cycle of 1 year that's consistent now with our continuous progress. We don't want to go too dark for too long. So we start typically with the first warm-up phase. As we know, no engineers work only 11 months per year, so they need some warm-up phase or recovery time after they have done the last release. And usually now we are clever to schedule the warm-up, of course, during vacation time so that we have a nice break and we have fresh minds. When you come back from vacation, we start typically with a retrospective, looking back, what worked in the past, what hasn't. And then we start to roll slowly. We look at the plan. What do we want to do in our release? And we start an initial release plan. We double click on that later on.
So then we go into the steady state of the project, a sequence of milestones. Each milestone themselves is like a mini release in the sense that it has a little bit of planning followed by the development part of the cycle. And then closing up with the stabilization phase. So each milestone will have that characteristic. You notice we have a 6-week milestone here, and that's the state that we found is useful. We tried in our earlier Eclipse days, shorter. We were at 3 or 4 weeks, we transitioned to 5. And the challenge here is how do you get a long enough cycle to be effective, but not too long that you can't get the feedback you need. So you don't want to be, I think the analogy we like to use is, are you on a bus and all you're doing is starting and stopping and not really getting anywhere, as opposed to getting enough time to make some real progress?
So we really started shorter, but it's the result of reflecting on what we do. So trying out, we start, I guess, now when we are heavy on the XP influence from Kent Beck, we start, I guess, with 2-week cycles. So we reflect on that, didn't work, so we extended it. So this is kind of really the agile mindset we try to live.
I mean, this is where the retrospectives come in. In fact, we do micro retrospectives during the endpoint as well to get more feedback. What can we do better as a team? But again, after we're done with the milestone section of it, we actually need to transition into the end game, where we just basically come into the landing point. Signups, of course, along the way, we'll come back and talk about that later. But I think there's an interesting point here about how fit the project is over the course of time, right? At the release point where we start, the project is fit. And during that recovery stage, very little is happening. You're doing forward thinking, so the project holds pretty well constant. But then as you go in through the milestones, now of course this picture's exaggerated, so it doesn't, things don't go necessarily this far down, but the overall fitness of the project decreases. You're adding new capabilities, there's interactions that aren't fully understood, right? This isn't perfect news, but it's reality, which is, all software isn't perfect as it's written, right? We have these flaws that come in along the way, and things go down. So it's critical. We do these stabilization passes to bring that up all the time. We kind of work that through from milestone to milestone, just having this overall trend for improving quality, improving fitness. And then when we hit the end of the cycle and the end game, because we're adding no new capabilities, we're purely focused on improving the fitness, getting ready to ship. You see it moving up, up, to a point that's actually better than we were before we started the previous cycle.
So this is kind of a little insight on planning made easy. Of course, it's not easy, right? You have to come up with the themes and so on, but this is our lesson learned. We had from doing planning for quite some time, and we learned no static plans. We tried to be, everything is decided up front. They just don't work. Okay, so we went away from static plans. We come to really dynamic plans, which means incremental plans. We plan more as we go, and at any point, you want to make informed decisions. For this reason, our items you put in the plan, often they start up in a stage which we call proposed, and as you know more, they either get promoted into committed or into deferred. Right? So we have the simple, really planning made easy by having three categories and make informed decisions when you know about what it is about, when you really know what it is about, because you really hate to drop committed features. Right? We really hate them. But downgrading a proposed and a deferred, that's okay.
If we, just a historical point, if we back up to the early Eclipse releases, the 1.0 release in particular, we were on this concern that we didn't want to provide false information to the community, so we held the plan back. And we were in this world where there was effectively no plan. We had these secret plans that we were working on, and they talked about possibilities, but we said, well, we don't want to put something there because we're not sure it's going to happen or not. So we're working basically behind closed doors on our planning process. We're transparently developing, but not transparently planning. And we said, why are we doing that? Right? We wanted to produce honest plans as the reasons we were doing it. We said, well, what we'll do is we'll just reflect that this is a proposed item. This is something we're working on. So by being transparent, we could actually make the plan available early in the cycle and then get feedback in that process as well. And again, the continuous update. So it's not like, it's not a point in time. It's not something we propose early, but each step along the way, we keep revising the plan to reflect where we're at and how it's going.
So now another important feedback mechanism we have is what we call live betas or continuous betas. So we have a beta program which is ongoing. It's basically, as we start the release, the beta program is running and it ends with the end game before we ship. And the challenge here is really, to get a live beta, you have to have people jump onto it. Right? So what you have to do is you have to be continuously consumable so that you have people actually following you and participating in the beta program. Of course, if you don't participate, it's not appealing to do. So you have to be continuously interesting. And last but not least, what we have to do on our end, we have to continuously listen, which means users have influence by giving us bugs, feedback, news group discussions, and so on. And this whole setup, right, you have always something to consume. You have a live beta, encourages feedback, and I think it's a key to get really exciting users excited because they will follow you and help you and be highly supportive for you. So how does this now work together with our build structure?
So basically what we need to do is we have these tiers of feedback loops that are all working together. So the first one we look at is the component teams. So the component teams are using the code that they're building on a daily basis. So as they make changes to their component, they're actually using that. So getting the feedback, working out the kinks, ensuring that it has the characteristics that they expect. So that's happening at a daily basis. Every day, at least once a day, the development team is looking at their changes and their impact on the tools themselves. At a weekly basis, the development team as a whole, the whole project team, is adopting the sets of changes. So we have that happening every week. So the project team is using the changes from the various component teams and seeing the interactions between them. So we actually provide feedback now at the project team level. So that's what's taking place there. And then we transition to the milestone. Again, you can see the size of the communities that are evaluating these. We go to the community step. We now have a lot of feedback happening from a lot of places. And we need to be listening through each of these cycles, listening to the community, listening to the project team, listening to the component team. Each of those cycles are very important.
Also, of course, with each level here, our responsibility increases to have something good because more and more people will be impacted by that. So now comes the next point, right? We said we have this rhythm, you have to feel a milestone, but it doesn't help when just we, the developers, feel the milestone. The community has to feel it as well, right? It's like you have a party and no one comes, right? So what do you do against that? And our marketing machinery here is very intense and expensive, so we publish new and noteworthy documents, notes, right? With every milestone built, we have a new and noteworthy, which we publish, which is actually really thanks to our community. They pick it up and blog about it. So that's the marketing machinery you have, right? We tell what we did, community picks it up and spreads and sprays the word. So that's all we do. That's all the marketing actually behind it. There is actually no monetary flow behind that.
Before we did new and noteworthy, it was very interesting, though. The picture we showed on the previous slide, where we had this significant amount of community evaluation feedback, it wasn't happening. And we were saying, there's all this cool stuff here. Why aren't people jumping on it? And you know, the obvious conclusion was, nobody knows what's there. So we transitioned to providing new and noteworthy. It was kind of, let's just try this out. And we started, and the feedback started happening, and then it just snowballed from there.
Can I just here say the new and noteworthy? Actually, that's a real thing, right? That's the new and noteworthy from the M5 milestone, which shows, I think, an exciting 3.2 feature, which is refactoring scripts. And just, I guess, 1 week ago, I had a cool mail in my mailbox. Now I refactored all this API, and actually here's the refactoring script, and you can pull it and apply it. It's pretty neat.
Yep. It's another thing on the point, continuously interesting, right? New capabilities showing up in each milestone, reasons for people to adopt, and reasons to provide feedback. So transitioning on to the end game,
which has mostly two practices, right? We have the sign-off process, and we have actually the end game, which is that kind of a rhythm thing that you want to double-click into. So the end game is the sprinting point, right, where we really do the sprint to get the quality from good to golden. Okay, and what do we do to get there? We have the rhythm, again, a rhythm, right? We start with a fixed time, fixed slot, where we also do spit and polish, move the pixels around in the right place, bend them a little left and right. We test, fix, test, fix. Here's the rhythm again, right? We are really into rhythm and dancing.
We believe in transparency everywhere. So our end game plan itself is transparent. We post it. We're actually in this phase right now of 3.2. And it shows how long we're going to spend testing, the expectations of the testing, so everybody can join in, you know, what kinds of things we're looking for, and then, you know, how the fixed time should go and the rules that go with it. So this is some data from, I think, our 3.0 release, but it shows how many bugs we're fixing through the end game, basically release candidate to release candidate, and week by week as we push through there. The interesting trend you see is our velocity, the amount of we're fixing is going down. So on the surface, you would say, maybe fatigue is setting in already, even with this reduced time boxes. But that's really not the case. What's really going on is we're establishing more structure in terms of how the changes take place and the kinds of things we'll do. So as we move through the release candidates, it takes more approvers to say, yes, this is something that we need to fix. It stands for changes from just a developer deciding that they would like to do it to a pair of developers, to bringing the component leads into the decision, and to, at the end, actually getting to a place where anyone can veto making additional changes, or a specific additional change. In addition to making the changes, on the approval side, on the